I have a little thought this morning that the Lord gave me, and I very out of character for me to get up here, and it's not something I would have picked. I would appreciate your prayers. I need them this morning. I feel like the Lord wants me to continue a burden that He gave to me in several parts. This is the second part. The last time we talked about envy, and it was tied to the scripture in Habakkuk. Maybe we can go there. 2 and 4. Habakkuk 2 and 4. It says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith." And this is the scripture that the Lord gave me, that the Lord impressed so strongly upon me. The just shall live by his faith. And the Lord wants us to all get to that place where that is how we live. Where we are not relying on our own power. And we're not looking for perfect circumstances in life. And we're not trying to find the easiest way and the easy way out in adversity. And we're not walking by our own sense of judgment, but the Lord wants us to get to the place where when He speaks, we listen and we do His will. And last time we talked about envy. I believe the Lord gave me several things to talk about that short-circuit that walk of faith. Envy's one of them. Envy is something that when we... It comes from a lack of trust in God. It comes from saying, the Lord blessed somebody more than He blessed me. The Lord, I want to talk about envy's cousin this morning. They're very different. They're on opposite ends of the spectrum, but they have the same fruit and they come from the same root. And it comes from the first part of the verse that we just read, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." You see the contrast there? There's another thing in people's lives that's very common in the world today that short-circuit the walk of faith that God has for each one of us, and it's called pride. And I feel like I'm preaching to myself this morning. This is something that the Lord has spoken to me about, and I've had a lot of weakness here. But I feel like the Lord wants me to give a few thoughts on this morning. Let's go to Psalms 138 and verse 6. "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." Let's go from there to 1 Samuel. We talked about 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. Last time we talked about King Saul. And he had a lot of envy in his heart. But he had a lot of pride there too. He trusted in his own self. And that's why I say these two are cousins. They follow the same path. The Lord told Saul to go destroy the Amalekites. He sent the word by the hand of Samuel, by the mouth of Samuel. And Saul got to reasoning. And he had some reasons why he should do it another way. And the Lord told Samuel, and Samuel went to visit Saul, and In Samuel, the 15th chapter, 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, and verse 17, Samuel said, after he came and was dealing with him about the oxen and King Agag and the things that he did not utterly destroy, Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And as we said last time, I look at King Saul and I think about what might have been. This was a talented man. He was a big, strong man. He had a lot of good points in his life. Very capable man. He was a very talented man in war. He had a lot of energy, but he trusted in himself. And when the Lord told him to do things, he would take another way at times. And his story ends very sadly. David said, "How are the mighty fallen?" Yes. David lamented over such a great king that had fallen. And he fell because he was lifted up. He trusted in his own self more than he trusted in God. The Lord took the Israelites and brought them into a land, a good land, a land full of blessing, and he blessed them. But he gave them a warning, and I want to read this. We're going to do a lot of reading this morning. There are so many scriptures that pertain to this, I really don't know how we're going to get through them all. And I'm probably going to miss something. It's not going to be all inclusive, but I'm going to give what I feel like the Lord gave me. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8, and 10th verse. It says, "When thou art eaten, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou art eaten, when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water." You see all the things the Lord brought them through to get to where they were. "Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna." They hadn't even heard of manna before this, "which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be that if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish, as the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face. So shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." I believe that in our lives the Lord wants us to prosper. Not necessarily financially, but the Lord has done it in the past in every way. It says that The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. It makes your life full in every area. But let's remember the things that the Lord brought us from. Let's remember the things that the Lord delivered us from. Let's remember the adversities that we didn't have an answer for. And who do you think it is that gives us the talents that we may come born with? Or the abilities? It's the Lord. The Lord wants us to not live to ourselves, but to live for His glory. And let's look at what happened to the Israelites. It's very sad. This is the reason that the Lord became angry at them. Go to Isaiah, the second chapter. Verse 6. Therefore, thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the land of children of strangers. Their land also is full of silver and gold. Neither is there any end of their treasures. Their land is also full of horses. Neither is there any end of their chariots. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, which their own fingers have made. Think about that. You want to worship something that you made? That's lifted up. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust, for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of His majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled. The haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. I want to look at one other king. This was one of the most gifted, talented kings. He was king for 52 years. Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26, and verse 5. He did right in the sight of the Lord. And said he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. For a time, he trusted in the Lord. Think about all the things he did. In the 15th verse it said, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and on the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. This man did a lot of stuff. He was the orchestrator of a lot of great things in Israel. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king, and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah was wroth, and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. What might have been he dwelled the rest of his life in a leper house. In a house, well, a house by himself, I guess. That had a wretched existence after that point. I was thinking, You know, there are a lot of ways that we can get lifted up. And all of those ways short-circuit the plans that God has for our lives. You know, you can be lifted up in your religion. Yes. We can be lifted up by our so-called humility. You know, I think about a group of people called the Pharisees. And they had some good beginnings. They wanted to purify the worship of God. And they wanted to make things, they wanted to do it right. But they reached a point where Jesus really had some tough words for these people. You know, when they'd go and they'd put money in the offering, the Lord said, when you give your alms, don't sound a trumpet like the hypocrites do. And I've read that sounding the trumpet actually had a reference to the way that the opening in the box, and when they put the money in, it was shaped kind of like a trumpet. And when they put the money in, they'd bring a whole bunch of coins and they'd fling it in such a way where it would make a great noise, a great clattering. And they called that sounding the trumpet. You know, the Lord doesn't need your money. He doesn't need anything that we have if we're attached to it. The Lord wants us, and He wants our life, and He wants the resources that He's given us, but He wants it to be used for Him. When it points back to ourselves, it's no good anymore. You know, I thought about in Exodus, the Lord was commanding them when they built altars. He said, when you build an altar, build it out of hewn stone. Because if you lift up your tool on it, you've polluted it. I'm not sure where that is, Exodus 22 or something like that. But, you know, I was thinking about the Lord, when we worship the Lord, be careful about how much of ourselves is included in that offering, in that sacrifice of praise. How much of our talents are projected forth, our natural abilities. I believe the Lord God wants us to use what He's given us for His glory, but only as long as it points to Him and Him alone. The Lord said to the Pharisees, He said, think not. This is Matthew 3. I'll just read this real quick. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. You know, we can get lifted up about maybe the knowledge that we've been taught, the heritage that we have, the ancestors that we have. But the Lord wants us to get to a place where we trust Him. And we get our words from Him. And we get our direction from Him. And when we mingle with people out in the world, it's a stink. When we go parading, I have a great heritage. We have the truth. You know... I wish I feel like that not being able to get this out, how the Lord expressed it to me. But let's read Matthew 23. And Then spake Jesus to the multitude and his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do ye not after their works, for they say, Do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men, for they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The Lord wants to use us for his work. He has a plan for every person. Let's not short-circuit that plan and try to determine what the Lord needs of us. And, you know, sometimes, on the one hand, we were talking last time about envy and about self-pity. And on the one hand, we can say, I don't believe the Lord. You know, I just can't do this. I just can't do a good enough job with this. The Lord bless somebody else. You know, if the Lord calls you to do something, it's something that we shouldn't have to worry about. And we shouldn't have to worry. We shouldn't say, you know, I believe the Lord could really use me here. This is something that the Lord gave me, and I can understand this. I have the understanding. It's the Lord's business who he wants to call and what he wants to use. And when we get to that place where we lay those things aside, the Lord can take our offering and he can make it like the loaves and the fishes. Let's go to Luke 17. And 10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things that which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. That's all we have to worry about. By unprofitable, it means they're saying, I didn't have anything in myself that the Lord takes pleasure in. I have a life that I gave the Lord. And the Lord took whatever he wanted and blessed it and multiplied it. And it wasn't anything of myself. It's unprofitable. But I've done what the Lord told me to do. And when we do that, we don't have to worry that it wasn't good enough. And if we do our very best, we don't have to worry it wasn't good enough. We don't have to say, you know, no, we did pretty good. No, we've done it was our duty. The Lord wanted us to do this. We did it. And that's the way the Lord wants us to live our lives. Let's go to Isaiah 66 and verse 2. The last part of this scripture says, To this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Do you want the Lord to bless you? Do you want the Lord to come and sup with you, like was mentioned last Sunday? The Lord wants to come in and live and bless and multiply and use our lives. And if we can be of a contrite spirit and tremble at the word of God and not have ourselves on display for everyone to see and get in the way, the Lord can guide us. I want to speak about Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. These are two men. The Lord really dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. He said it in Daniel 4, the 29th verse. The Lord had sent Nebuchadnezzar a dream, and Daniel interpreted it for him, and Nebuchadnezzar had a warning from the Lord. The Lord used Nebuchadnezzar for different missions, and he blessed him. But Nebuchadnezzar reached a point. It said, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And he had had a dream a year ago in which he was warned that this might happen, and he was warned to humble himself before the Lord. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. You know, that was the mercy of the Lord on Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord comes if we have. That lets me know that there was hope for his soul and that there was still a tenderness in him to be dealt with by the Lord. The Lord dealt with him. I think about in my own life, you know, the Lord comes to wherever we're at. The Lord brings things that bring us to where we need to be. He gives us a choice, and he gives us opportunities to get to where we need to be, and sometimes it's really embarrassing. I remember there was a person in my life, and it seemed like every time I'd get around this person, I would say the stupidest stuff, and I would do the dumbest things, and I would mess up, and there'd be things that I was good at. And I'd get around this person, and it would all go wrong every time. And I thought, you know, this person really thinks I am a piece of work. And after a while, I realized you care about what you want him to look a certain way at you. And you want him to feel a certain way about what you can do. And the Lord was able to help me on that. And I started saying, I don't care. You know, I don't care. It's okay. He can think whatever he wants to think. And you know, from that point, the situation improved, and I didn't keep making those mistakes, and I got to where I could just be around this person and we could do stuff together. You know, when you're in school, if you want to pass a grade, if you don't pass it, you get to take the grade over again. And sometimes the Lord will wonder, you know, why does this keep happening? Why do I keep having this happen over and over and over again? This, you know, maybe we failed the class last time. The Lord has a way of bringing us to where he wants us to be, but it's only if we're willing to get there, if we want to get there. Daniel was another man that dealt closely with Nebuchadnezzar. And you know, I was thinking about Daniel. Daniel was the prime minister. He was the highest man in the kingdom after King Nebuchadnezzar. He had great responsibilities. He had great talents. I have no doubt that he was an extremely gifted mathematician and a statesman and a scholar. He knew a lot of things. He had great responsibilities. He did the king's business. But he wasn't lifted up. Listen to, you know, and I think of the scripture that says the righteous are bold as a lion. Being humble, not being lifted up, doesn't mean that you have to be all cowed down. Say, oh, I can't do anything. I'm just a nobody, and I don't have any gifts or any abilities or anything like that. Daniel, listen to in Daniel 2 and 19. There was a dream. And God gave Daniel something very special. He revealed a dream to him. And these things happened to Daniel all the time. It said, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are His. Not Daniel's, they're God's. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. What do you think would have happened if this extremely gifted man would have ascribed honor to himself? We would have never had the wonderful stories and the happenings. Some of these men influenced kingdoms and history for thousands of years. And it's because they were of an humble spirit. Read the book of Daniel. Read the prayer that he made. Read, I think it was in the 9th chapter. We're not going to turn there, but he was a very humble man. You know, I think about the different things that the Lord blesses people with. You know, the Lord gives people power to get gain. He also gives them talents. He gives people intellect. I want to say that if we trust in those things and we don't look to the Spirit of God, we're setting ourselves up for a big failure. I've marveled in every different religion that you can find. Some of the most intellectual, smart men can be found among those religions. It's not enough to trust in the mind that the Lord's given us and say, you know, this is the way it is. It makes sense to me. This is the interpretation. You can go and you can find people that'll say that in every different belief that there is. And I'll tell you why. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he is that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Let's go to John 15 and verse 5. says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. I want to get a hold of this morning. You know, the Lord has understanding for us. He has deep things to teach us. He has great things that He wants us to do, but they're for His glory. You know, we had a memory verse a while ago that said, let your light shine, that they may see your good works and give you honor. Glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Lord gives people the gifts that they have. The Lord designed all of us. Some of us He gave this gift and some He gave that. We don't all have the same gifts. We don't all have the same abilities. I will say that the Lord, when the Lord calls us to do something, we shouldn't make a checklist of what's on our list of abilities or not. The Lord can give us abilities we don't have. And He might not use for His work some things that we thought He would. It's His business. Some of the things that He gave to us can really get in our way. I believe that is a hindrance in Christianity in many places because people get lifted up in themselves and they trust in their great speaking ability or how witty they are or how able they are to move people. And you know, all those things you can do without the help of the Lord at all. It's when the Lord can use us that things happen, that things get done, that souls are saved, that people are dealt with. When you offer an offering of your life to the Lord, don't lift up your tool on it. Don't pollute the offering. You have a contrite spirit toward the Lord, and He can bless our life. He can make it. It's a great danger. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1, 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. And in verse 31 it said, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. You know, people that are wise and mighty can be called. The Lord doesn't exclude those people. But a lot of times it can't happen because we get in our own way. We get in the Lord's way. That's why it says, not many wise men after the flesh are called, because they're wise in their own selves. But if we can get down and humble ourselves and say, Lord, however you want to use me, I'll be a failure for you. I'll look like a dummy for you. God doesn't really need our money, our talents, our wisdom, our skills. He wants us, and He'll use those things. But if we have polluted our offering, He doesn't need those things. I want to look at one more scripture. We read this scripture last time. I want to read it again. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who then is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, as even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I want to notice that. God gave the increase. Paul was an eloquent man. I mean, not Paul. Apollos was a very eloquent man. It said he was eloquent. He was a good speaker. He was mighty in the scriptures. If you read over in another place, people would talk about Paul and said his speech was contemptible. And a lot of people gave a lot more honor to Apollos than they did to Paul. But Paul had a message for them just like Apollos did. We need to look past the human side of people. Oh, this minister, the Lord really blesses him. Just listen to that wonderful message he preached. It was so eloquent. And you know, the Lord uses all kinds of vessels to reach people. And he uses people that you would never think that he would use. And sometimes we're unwilling to listen to those people because we're not willing to humble ourselves to accept a word from them. I feel like that the Lord, you know, the scripture talks about being prepared unto every good work. And there are many different scriptures that say different variants of that. One of them talks about being thoroughly furnished for every good work in 1 Timothy 2 or 2 Timothy 2. It talks about being prepared unto every good work. These are the things that short-circuit us being able to be prepared for every good work. We don't know what the Lord's going to call us to do. We don't know the lives that the Lord will want us to touch, or that He'll put in our, the people that He'll put in our path. We don't know the circumstances that God's going to use to bring glory to Him. But there are things in our life that we need to watch out for, to be prepared, to be ready for anything God asks us to do. When we're full of ourselves, and we're full of our own abilities, the Lord can't use us to reach people. It just doesn't work. People that are otherwise, that I think, I've seen people before that I thought, you know, the Lord could have used them so mightily. And maybe He did for a time. And when they get full of their own abilities, the blessings stop at that point. Let's be in the place where the Lord can call us. Yes. And the Lord, it said, the Lord will not, the song says, He will not walk with the proud. Yes. Another song says, I am only an earthen vessel, yes, that Jesus may use as He will. Whether much I may do in His vineyard, or small be the place that I fill. I'm only an earthen vessel, but cleansed by the Master's dear hand, He hath placed me just where He would have me, and ready for service I stand. I think about Abraham and other people in the Bible that followed the Lord so closely. And when the Lord would speak to them, they would say, "Here I am." And that's all they said. And what I read out of that was saying, what do you want to do with me? Use me however you want to. My own feelings don't matter. I don't care about looking like a fool. There were times the Lord made people, caused people to look foolish for their own benefit. Amen. Pray for me.